During the break, a couple of people asked me about any other presentations I've done on this. CFRC, Creation, Fall, Redemption, Consummation, I wrote a lot about in Soul Physicians. That book is up here. The kind of additions that I've done, and as I thought this through in the last decade, in a book by Zondervan, Gospel-Centered Counseling. And what I'm sharing in the first session and this one is really kind of snippets from chapter one. And then the rest of that book will go through what I call life's eight ultimate questions, from God's Word to community, creation, fall, redemption, consummation, sanctification. So let's get the big picture again of what we're talking about. Gospel-centered counseling. We talked about theologians often talk about creation, fall, redemption. We've expanded that. And by the way, I was not even looking to find all of these in Colossians 1. Because frankly, when you look for something, you force it, right? And that's not really a good thing. But I had this in mind and started doing a study and a preaching series on Colossians 1. And I'm like, well, there's community. Well, there's creation. You have it all. Especially when you expand to Colossians 1, 2, 3, and 4. And frankly, if this is an accurate depiction of the development of the Bible storyline, you're going to find it all over the place. So it shouldn't be that surprising. But you have some different verses listed there that we will walk through. So theologians have talked about creation, fall, redemption. Others now, like Van Hooser, have expanded that. And it's his work and my work and others where it's community, creation, fall, redemption, church, consummation. But what most theologians have not done is go the next step and ask the so what question, especially the so what question for one another ministry in the local church. And I call them in the book that's coming out, the Gospel-Centered Counseling, life's ultimate questions. And we're going to link those questions. Now, we've already looked at one. I didn't highlight it that much. But the question for God's Word is what? Where do we find wisdom for life in a broken world? And the answer is God's Word, but not as a refer, sprinkle, concordance approach, but as a robust, rich, gospel-centered approach that we do in a relational, passionate, and compassionate way. So we want to develop these together and develop these ultimate life questions. So let's start with community. Notice a little phrase after that in your notes. Listen to the Creator of life for wisdom for living. So Paul begins his Colossians model of counseling. Now, years ago, David Paulson wrote a book on Ephesians, Speaking Truth in Love, and really the Ephesians model of counseling. I think we could very well have a book like that on Colossians, because there is a definite model of one another ministry throughout Colossians. You'll get a taste of that this morning. But Paul begins not at the beginning. He begins before the beginning. We're going to look at that in Colossians 1, 15 through 19 in just a second. But let's think first about a key question that every counseling model must address. Where does our counseling model begin? Every counseling model must think about this. And by definition, every secular counseling model must begin at the beginning with humanity. And so when people start talking about neutral secular counseling models, there's no such thing. A counseling model either begins with deity and the Trinity, and before the beginning in eternity, or a counseling model begins with humanity. And that is a world, an infinite, eternal world of difference. So gospel-centered counseling begins before the beginning, with God in Trinitarian community. I've taught on this before from John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. We talk about verbal plenary inspiration. Every single word of Scripture is inspired and inerrant. And that includes the tense. There was another tense that John could have used in John 1:1 that would have been was, but it was the aorist tense. It would be like a snapshot. So that you might have gone back in time and you might have happened to see Jesus with the Father. But he used the imperfect continuous action tense. Meaning whenever you would go back in time, all the time, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in infinite, intimate communion. John 1:18 talks about Jesus for all eternity in the bosom of the Father. That word bosom, John uses later in his gospel of the beloved disciple, the disciple that Jesus loved. Leaning on the bosom of Christ at that final fellowship meal. I mean, that picture of intimacy, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in intimate soul-to-soul communication. And the Apostle Paul begins before the beginning with Colossians 1, 15 through 19. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers, authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, consist, adhere. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him. There are two ways we can build our understanding of people. We can understand the creature by the creature, that's secular psychology, or we can do the wise thing and understand the creature by the creator. That is a biblical psychology, a biblical understanding of people. You know, it's as if Paul says, where do you want to turn to understand people? Colossians 1:16. All things were created by him and for him, begin with the creator. And it's as if Paul says, is your life falling apart? Is your life coming unglued? Turn to the one in whom all things consist and adhere and hold together. So Paul forces us to think about the cosmic Christ, and he gives us really the first life question, ultimate life question that we want to look at this afternoon. Here it is, the ultimate life question that relates to the Trinity and the prologue and God. Taking theology and applying it to biblical counseling, what comes into our mind when we think about God? Whose view of God will we believe, Christ or Satan? By going to the beginning and looking at God, we don't start our understanding of psychology and people with humanity. We started with deity. We started with the Trinity. A.W. Tozer years ago said this, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So as I began to counsel Ashley, part of what was going on in my mind was thinking through, she's been through a lot. And I know that Satan wants to come in and whisper lies that go something like this. And this is how Ashley kind of framed it as we got exploring that together. Here was her stark and dark Satan-inspired image of God. She knew theologically it wasn't true, but this is what she felt in her soul. God is sovereign. He could have stopped your abuse. He did not. God does not care about you. That's Satan's lie. Whose view of God will we believe? Christ or Satan? If I had ignored this foundational part, the prologue, God, and simply started with Ashley as if there was no God, we would have never gotten to hope and healing in the heart. So this takes us to a practical question. And I don't know the difference sometimes between the life ultimate question and the practical question. They all kind of blend together. But here it goes. What does love look like? From whom do we learn to love? Paul talks about love in Colossians 1:13. He says it beautifully when he speaks of the Father bringing us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. That takes us back to John 1. It takes us back to John 17. Before God created, what was he doing? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were relating. Where do we learn to love? We learn to love by looking at the Trinity. So when Nate asked the question, Bob, can you help? I wanted to help Ashley in a lot of ways, with the emotions that she was experiencing, with the shame, in a lot of ways. But I was also thinking about Trinity-shaped help. What would Trinity-shaped help look like? So one of the verses we looked at that was really instrumental in the healing in Ashley's soul was John 17:26. John 17:26, Jesus says, I have made you known to them in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Do we understand what that means? I mean, can we fathom that? Ashley began to understand the same love the Father has for the Son, he has for me. I mean, that's unbelievable. And what that helped Ashley begin to do in answering Nate's question, can you help, is not only begin to understand and receive Christ's love, but what? To begin to love like Jesus. I mean, Nate's definition of help may not have been that, but I was thinking in my mind, I want her to know she's loved by the Father with the same love he has for the Son. And out of that, I want her to richly love other people.